Good evening. I hope that you all have had a very, very good day. I hope that you, if you are here with us and you're a visitor tonight, I hope that any time you get the chance, you'll come back and be with us once again. But as we start tonight, I want to talk to you just a moment about something that happens this time of the year that in essence happens every year in most homes. But do you know when you wake up or you see the kids wake up early in the morning and they run downstairs as a family and you sit around that tree with presents all under it, and then you see those kids just, whenever the parents allow them, just start immensely ripping that paper off, one piece after another. And then finally, if your parents are like my parents, you'll get to a box that is usually duct tape all the way around. And then you have to rip apart the duct tape. And then inside of that, you know, there's four or five more boxes that you have to rip open. But when you look at a kid, you know, they're trying so hard to get into that box that they'll do whatever they have to. They'll rip it in however many pieces, and they'll throw it to the side. And then finally, they get to the thing that is right in the middle, the gift. And they pull it out, and it's just like amazement. Because they've gotten something that they asked for, maybe something they didn't ask for that they do enjoy. But then over to the side of them, around any kid at Christmas, if you look, there's generally a giant pile of trash and boxes and multicolored tissue paper and name tags and maybe tags off of new clothes or whatever object that they asked for Christmas. And it's all just piled there, and its value, in essence, to most people, is useless. Why is that? The reason all of that pile of trash and boxes or gift bags just sits there and eventually ends up in a garbage can somewhere is because the value is not placed in the object holding what's inside. The value is placed in the object that is inside of that box or bag. And when you think about it for a moment, you think about maybe a Christmas that you've had. Have you ever seen someone who will keep those old boxes or that old ripped up paper in a million shreds and say, oh, you know what? I'm going to hang this up on my wall and I'm going to remember Christmas from 2016. No, we don't do that. Because paper and those boxes and those different bags to us are useless material that in essence was a barrier to get to the object that we really did want in the first place. And we dress up these boxes. You know, we spend tons of money on wrapping paper and on bows and maybe on name tags or however you do it in your home. But we spend all this money just to make the appearance of this box or bag or whatever container that's holding the gift look better. But we understand that it has no value. That it's eventually, in a matter of a day or two or however many days before you put your gift out, in a matter of a couple of days or weeks, it's just going to end up garbage. But when we think about it as a Christian, from a Christian perspective, I want to mention to you something tonight that I hope that you will think with me just for a moment. But all of those boxes and those bags, or maybe those containers that we use to put our gifts in, they're all considered a vessel. And as we study tonight, we're going to look at this idea of a vessel just for a moment. The kids told me in class this morning that either I go short or they're going to take me out back. So I'm going to go short tonight. But I want you to think about this. Those vessels that hold that gift only have value when there is a gift inside of it. Cardboard boxes are readily available just about anywhere today that you want to go get them. Bags are readily available anytime you go to convenience stores, shopping malls, whatever the case may be. But the value of that vessel is by what's inside of it. Now, I want to flip gears here for just a moment. I want you to think about something else. If you were to leave this building right now and drive to my house, 104 Indian Creek Drive, and you were to walk in my front door, hang an immediate left and then an immediate right behind the counter, and go to the third cabinet on the second shelf, you will find glass cups. That's how often I go get stuff to drink because I know where the cups are. You go right to the house, you go right in, you hang a left, then a right there. Open the cabinet, pull that glass out, walk over to the refrigerator or the faucet, turn it on or empty something into the container, and then you sit down to drink it and you have no concern about the vessel. You just want what's inside of it. Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment. Imagine if you go to the house, you open up the cabinet, you reach in for that cup, you pull it down, you sit it on the counter, you go to pour something in, you look and there's an inch and a half of dirt in the bottom of that cup. What are you going to do with that cup? You're going to put it in the sink, or hopefully, depending on how dirty it is, you're going to wash it out immediately and then put it in the dishwasher to make sure it's clean. But most of us, when we look at that cup that has dirt in it, we're not going to use it because that vessel or that cup is considered unclean or dirty or impure. What do we do when we go to restaurants? Waitress comes up or waiter and they say, "Ma'am, sir, what can I get you to drink? I'd like a sweet tea." You want lemon? Absolutely. They bring you a sweet tea, they sit it down, and you look in your cup and there is some form of particles floating around in your cup and you have no idea what it is. What do you do? Well, the waiter or waitress comes back by, you say, "Excuse me, I need another cup." Or maybe you go to Golden Crown and you get to the serving line where there's the big pile of plates and there's a big basket of forks and spoons and knives, and you pull one out and you go through and you pile 35 pounds of food on in the buffet, and then you go sit down and then you look and you pick your fork up and it's just nasty. You look at it and you say, "It don't matter," and you start eating. No, you don't do that. Some people might, but most people don't do that. And so you go get another fork and you get a clean one and you go on, because that vessel, that object is impure. It's dirty. It's unclean. Now, when you look at this aspect or this idea or this concept from a Christian's perspective, we do this exact same thing to God. Because here's what I want you to think about. Tonight as we study, I want to look at this idea of we are the vessel that God chooses to dwell His Spirit in. But I want us to question ourselves to see what kind of a vessel are we. I want to mention to you three different ideas that maybe we can challenge ourselves to become better tonight, tomorrow, and every day as we start this new year. But when we think about being God's vessel, there has to be some scriptural evidence to it. Jamie read for us 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, but I'm going to read to you verse 16 and 17. "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple." And there's an implication here in verse 17 that I don't know if you've caught before, maybe you have, but I want you to think about this. If God dwells His Spirit in you, then it is a condition for you to be pure and holy. If God's Spirit dwells in you, there is a condition that you must be pure and holy. And here's the reason why I say it. If you go to the book of 1 John, you look at chapters 1 and 2, there is a continuous idea that the author John mentions there. And he talks about God does not have fellowship with darkness. And if we are going to be this temple or this vessel that God created us to be, then we have to be pure and holy so that we can fulfill the purpose that God has given to us. But sometimes we think, you know what, God, it's okay. I don't have to be the cleanest. I don't have to be the purest. You just have to take me for what I am. But when it comes to cups and boxes and things that we use for us, we expect it to be completely clean and pure and something that meets our standards. And what we've done is that we've set a double standard for us compared to what God expects from us. If you look at Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8, the author says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand." And I want us to think about this for just a moment. You know, we've heard growing up in school, we've heard growing up in maybe from our friends, people try to explain how we got to where we are today, how we ended up with the physical appearance that we have today, how we ended up with the exact anatomic makeup that we have today. And you hear all these different crazy ideas that people say, well, you know, there was these great galaxy seeds that came together and caused a big explosion and poof, we're all here. And you look around and you say, okay, that has no logical way possible for that to happen. Well, then you flip over and then some other guy says, well, hey, you know what really happened? Well, there were a bunch of monkeys that just eventually at some point over time showed up from this little microorganism, and they just continued to develop. And then one day, one of those monkeys in the cave said, you know what? I'm going to transform into someone who has logical thought process, a language that I can communicate, and the ability to reason. And then when you think about it, more and more you think, no, that doesn't add up either. But then in the book of Isaiah, he mentions this. He says, God, you are our Father. Not only are you our Father, but you're also the guy who sat down with his own hands and made us. And the idea that he pitches here is a potter or someone who builds pottery for a living. And he sits down on this molding wheel and he spins that clay and he takes his hand and he churns that vessel exactly the way that he wants it. For a specific purpose. Genesis chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, as we look through the beginning of the earth and we look at how man played out, God explains, this is how I did it. I made you this way. I made a vessel for this purpose with these hands. And the vessel that I made, I want to put my spirit into. And not only do I want to put my spirit into that vessel, I want to put my spirit into a clean vessel. So we have to look at this concept just a little bit more. We are the vessel that God uses to dwell a spirit. And as we study tonight, I want to mention to you a couple of things that we need to think about as we close the year and as we start a new year. And these are things that are thoughts to, in essence, meditate on, to take home, to hear God's Word speak to you at home in your Bible. This is an idea that I want you to go home and study. This is an idea that I want to plant in your head that will burn you to your core to help you realize that things have got to change. Because at some point, all of us fall into one of these three categories. And we need to know where to stand. The first thing I want us to think about, are we a vessel that is accessible to God? Are we a vessel that is accessible to God? Now, here's what I mean by accessible. When I go home after services and I'm thirsty, you know where I go? In the house, take a left, take a right, third cabinet, right there in front of me. And I open that door, and I know that when I open that door, that cup is going to be accessible. You know why? Because either Ashley or I put it there. Because we knew that at some point we would come back for that clean cup, and we would want to be able to get it so that we could get something else to drink in future times. We do this, all of us do this. We have cups or plates or bowls or forks or napkins, whatever you want to place, in your house, and you know where they are, and you know how to access them. Kind of like a fire extinguisher. You look in any buildings that are government, in essence, up to code with government, fire extinguishers are placed where they can be easily accessed. The same way that we as Christians should place ourselves in positions that are easily accessible for God to use. And here's what I mean by that. When you think about being a Christian, when you think about serving God faithfully, do we show up to worship Him regularly? God wants to use us, but in order for Him to use us, He has to fill our vessel so that we can be poured out on other people. But if we are not in the place where you can get living water, you are not accessible. You are not a vessel that can be used. And that comes back to the idea of worshiping. And I like what they said this morning on the Lord's Supper. God wants us not just to remember Him one time a year, but He wants us here every first day of the week. So we have to be accessible. We have to be reachable, in essence, to be useful to God. You have to be in God's possession or in His church. Are you inaccessible? Are you able to be reached? Do you faithfully attend? Not only do you have to faithfully attend, are you actively involved? You see, that cup is useless if it isn't picked up. We as Christians are useless, and I hate to say this, I know it sounds harsh, we are useless if we don't make the effort to be involved. We're in essence taking up space. Do we make that effort? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. One of my favorite passages that is used in Christianity today to talk about worship, but I like to think of it differently. He says, and let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you say the day drawing near. And again, I've mentioned this over and over again, this idea that this is a passage to, in essence, talk about showing up to church. Well, it refutes that at the end when it says, as you see the day drawing near, because that's every single day that we're on this earth. But he says this, he says, let us consider how to stir one another up. You may be the vessel that helps someone else become a part of the Lord's body. You may be someone who is the example that someone needs to see to commit their life to God. And if you are not accessible, if people can't put their presence in your presence so that they can be influenced, you cannot be the vessel that God expects you to be. You cannot be accessible if you are not here. You cannot be filled by God and His Spirit if you are not accessible to Him and His church. So we have to be accessible. And as he says here in Hebrews chapter 10, he says, you can't do it if you neglect to meet together. He says, but encouraging one another all the more as you say the day of drawing near, you have to be making an effort to be a vessel that can be used. Maybe that's not it. Maybe we're accessible. What about the cleanliness? Are we a vessel that is pure and clean? You see, and I mentioned this a moment ago, when you go out to a restaurant, I'll never forget one time, it was my senior year of high school, they just put a Cracker Barrel in my hometown, right outside of my hometown, and they had the grand opening, and one of the guy who put in the Cracker Barrel is a good friend of Dad's. So they called Dad and they said, hey, we're having our grand opening, we'd like for y'all to come in that night and have dinner with us. So we got up that night at the house, we got ready, we drove over to Dyersburg, we sat down, and the waitress comes up and she says, what can I get you to drink? Dad says, I'll take you on sweet tea. So we're sitting there, and this is right when Ashley and I had started dating. Or no, this was prior to Ashley and I started dating. But we were sitting there, and she comes back, she sits the drinks down one by one, and she sits Dad's in front of me, and they're clear glasses, and I look, and there's a fly floating around. And I was thinking, oh no. So Dad says, hey, this one's not clean. And the lady looks, and she said, I don't see anything. And I'm sitting on the other end of the table, and I see it. It's like cutting donuts in the bottom of his glass. And finally, Dad takes a spoon, he dips it out of the bottom, and he says, ma'am, this glass is not clean. But when we think about our Christianity, I want you to ingrain this in your mind. When we think about being clean for God's specific purpose, God wants to dwell His Spirit in us so that we can bless others in their lives. But He cannot do it if we choose to continue to cling on to the things that are impure, unclean, and filthy in God's eyes. You see, because what we do is we try to trick ourselves into thinking that, God, I can have you over here in this part of the cup, and then I can have my sins that I hold on to and struggle with on this side of the cup. And it doesn't work that way. God requires purity and cleanliness in His eyes. We have to leave the dirt and the filthiness and the impurities out of our lives. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, John says, this is the message that we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with one another while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. And as John puts it, we have to make an effort to keep our vessels clean. You see, when God is the priority and God is filling your vessel and God's Spirit is filling your temple, there will be no impurities there. Does that mean you'll be perfect? No, you will make mistakes. But the difference is you will continually be cleansed because you have God's Spirit as the main thing filling your vessel. We don't drink water and take a handful of dirt and stick in it. We don't need to treat God the same way. Because sometimes we choose to hold on to those sins, and God looks at us as the vessel that He created, as we see in Genesis, as we see in Isaiah, as we see in 1 Corinthians, and He says, I want to use you, but you're too filthy. We have to give away those things and cleanse ourselves so that we can be the vessel that God intended for us to be. We have to make an effort. This is not something that happens easily, because when we look at sin and how it treats us, Sin attacks us, and Satan attacks us with temptations that draw us, that are enticing to us. Things that are going to require you to work to get out of your vessel. As Paul put it in Romans chapter 6, he said, "What are we to say then? Are we to continue sinning that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin live in it any longer?" If we're going to be a useful vessel, that's to be pure and clean. But maybe that's not it. The third and final thing I want you to think about tonight, I think this is a big issue in our world today, is our vessel filled with other things that are hindering God from filling it up? Is our vessel filled with things that are hindering God from filling it up? When you go get something to drink, you don't pour something into a completely full container or a completely full cup. You don't try to stack stuff that's in a box packed to the brim. You don't take stuff and put stuff in a bag that will bust because it can no longer hold the weight. We get the empty ones so that we can fill them up with what we want to drink with cups, or boxes so that we can have just as much storage as we need, or bags that we can tote safely out to our trash can so that they don't bust in our house. But in today's time, as Christians, sometimes we fill up our lives with different things that are not what God expects. And in essence, what they do is they take up so much space that there's no more room for God to fill our vessel with His Spirit. And I'll give you an example. And I've mentioned this to the kids before, and I think it's as relevant as anything else. And I'm not to say that sports are bad or band or any of those activities, but there is a time when you can fill your calendar, your schedule, your time frame completely up with those things that you, in essence, cut out God so that you can do those things. And God looks at His vessel and He says, "I can't put anything in here. There's no room." Maybe it's work. "God, I want to be a Christian." That's great. I will use you as the vessel I intended. "I need you to visit the sick." "Well, God, I've got to work till then, and then by the time I get dinner and by the time I eat, it's time for bed because I've got to get back up again." "Send a card." "Well, God, I don't know if I have time. I'm always on the go. I'm always driving. I don't have really the time or the resources to sit down, to write a card, to put a stamp on it, to go mail it." There's not enough room there. God says, "I want you to faithfully attend so that you can encourage that weak Christian, that new convert, that young man or that young woman who's on the verge of giving their life to me. God, I've got a vacation planned, and if I don't go this week, it's the only week. Or if I don't make it on these 3 weekends, it's okay, we'll set up later." And God looks and He says, "Stop filling your vessel up with useless, worthless things that pass away. I want to fill your vessel with my Spirit." And sometimes we fall habit of filling our vessel up with other things that God has no room to pour Spirit into it. Could be work, could be sports, could be traveling, could be whatever you want to fill in the blank with, but God is not pleased when there's no room for Him. Luke chapter 12, verse 15, Christ says, "And He said to them, 'Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in abundance of his possessions.'" Maybe it's physical stuff. God says, "I want to use you as my vessel, and I've blessed you richly in your job, and I've blessed you with great material financial ability, and I want you to help me. There's this children's home that really could use the help. Or maybe there's this widow that really is having a tough time. Or maybe there's a young family who is on the brink of going completely under. I want to use you." And God says, "You're the one I want to use." And we look and we say, "God, I can't. I need fill in the blank." And we pile that stuff in. And we pile so much stuff in that we can't even see through the top of our vessel to see that God wants to use us. Maybe our vessel is filled with other things that are hindering us from being used. There's not any room left. If there's not any room in our vessel, can God use us? We need to keep our vessel filled with the Spirit of God, not with worldly things. As we close tonight, if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 21. This is the original thought behind this idea of a vessel. And I think that as we close tonight, I think that this is a good piece of meat to chew on as we leave here, as we go about our daily lives. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 21, Paul tells Timothy this. He says, "Now in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use and some for dishonorable." And I want to stop there for just a moment, and I want to mention this. In the Lord's house, you don't have to be the shiniest. You don't have to be the most eloquent speaker, the best dressed, the early riser, the most knowledgeable. You don't have to be someone who is the wealthiest. You don't have to be someone who is the most inviting, the most hospitable. God says there are many different vessels in a great house. And it's the idea that Paul's, in essence, referring to is the idea of 1 Corinthians when Paul mentions that in the body of Christ, we are all members of the one body, but we are individually members of it. And every vessel can be used by God. As you continue in verse 21, he says this, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work." And Paul mentions here that if you want to be a vessel that fulfills the intended purpose, if you want to be a vessel that fulfills what God designed you by His hands to do, you have to make yourself ready. You have to make yourself honorable. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, a passage that we're very well familiar with, that God in essence tells us that how special He made us. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, he says this, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light." God intended for our original purpose as vessels, in essence, to show other people what God can do. And if we choose to stain ourselves, if we choose to overfill our vessels, if we choose to pull our vessel away from access and sit away from God and hide from God, we have, in essence, looked at our intended purpose and said, "Not for me. I don't want it." But the problem with that is when we decide to pull ourselves as a vessel that God made away from God and in essence to fill it with things that don't need to be there in the first place or fill it with things that take over everything, we look at God and say, "I don't want your spirit," which eventually says, "I don't want your reward." It would be crazy to think that if I were to ask who doesn't want to go to heaven, that someone would raise their hand. But when we look at our lives and we look at the vessel that God created us to be, does our life say that? God will use any vessel. God will use a vessel that is willing. The question is, are we trying to make our vessel what God intended it to do? My hope and prayer is that as we close out this year, that you'll look at your life. Look at your calendar. Look at your time. Look at your finances. Look at what you have done in the last year. You know, it's kind of like H&R Block says, we want to know about your year. Tell us about your year. Look at your year. Did God use you to make a difference? And here's the hardest part of this. When we come to the realization that the only way God doesn't use us is when we choose not to be used. Because God will use any of us. Maybe you look at your life and you say, "You know what, things were not good. I don't feel as if I've done what God wanted me to. I don't feel as if I was a vessel that was clean enough. Maybe I was a vessel that was too full. Maybe I was a vessel that didn't want people to have access to." As we move forward, make sure that things are where God wants you to be. He's offered to bless you with His Spirit, He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He's offered to bless you with a kingdom, He says in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. And He's offered to bless you with forgiveness, as you see in 1 John 1, 5 through 10. And if those three things can't motivate you, it's time to do some thinking. It's time to do some evaluating. Or maybe you're here and you say, you know what, I'm a vessel for God and I've started my walk with God, but slowly and surely I've just been taking things and sticking in my vessel that are unclean, that are not pure, and they're things that are causing me to be separated with God, and I haven't been doing what I need to be doing, and I need to change. You're in the perfect place for that. You can come forward and pray, or you can do it from where you're sitting, but God wants you and He wants to use you. Will you let Him? Or maybe you're here and you say, you know what, I've never decided to give my life to Christ, and I've never allowed Him to give me His Spirit so that I can be in His body. We can sit down with you tonight. We can show you what God expects. We can teach you about Jesus Christ and the love that He had, the death that He died, and the resurrection that He victoriously rose from the grave so that you could be above the grave too. Or maybe you're here and you're just having a hard time and you just need some prayers. If we can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?